It's Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up on Central Time, political candidates can find that young voters are often the hardest to reach in elections. We talked to an expert on millennial polling about what candidates have to do to capture the younger generation's votes.
First, members of Wisconsin's Menominee tribe will soon have a say on whether or not marijuana use, both for medical and recreational purposes, should be legalized on the tribe's reservation.
The U.S. Justice Department has previously said it will no longer prosecute federal laws regulating the growing or selling of marijuana on reservations, even in states where marijuana is illegal, Wisconsin being one of those. So if passed, how would this work and what could it mean for the tribe and others going forward?
Richard Manette joins us now. He's a professor of law at UW-Madison and director of the Great Lakes Indian Law Center. Richard, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you.
So let's talk about the legality of this. As far as what we know about the referendum, what is being considered?
What is being considered?
Correct.
Well, I'm sure that the tribe's intentions for now are, you know, pretty focused on use and maybe some production within the reservation. But certainly on the table are questions of whether there may be anticipations of marijuana being brought into the reservation, whether they are anticipating marijuana being sold off the reservation, if it's illegal in the state of Wisconsin, which surrounds them, whether that means that they might buy and sell from jurisdictions to jurisdictions where it is otherwise legal, like Colorado or Washington, let's say. So while it's a pretty focused question in front of them, I think right now, as far as I can discern, there are a lot of uncertain and much broader parameters at play.
And we're going to bring in now Gary Bisaw, chairman of the state's Menominee tribe. Chairman Bisaw, welcome.
Well, thank you. Thank you for having me on.
So could you please tell us the questions at stake in this referendum coming up?
Okay. Well, we have two questions. Question one, and these are yes or no questions. Should the Menominee tribe allow the recreational use of cannabis, marijuana, for adults age 21 and older? Yes, no. And the second question is, should the Menominee tribe allow the medicinal use of cannabis, marijuana? Yes or no?
And so have you...
Those are the two questions, and it should be noted this is an advisory referendum.
Okay, so this means that this is not going to legalize marijuana on tribal land for the Menominee. This is to take stock of attitudes and what people think.
Yes, that's a good way to say it. The tribe, we indeed want to find out what the tribal membership, which is almost at 9,000 members, what they believe, and should we put time or effort into further research into developing tribal ordinance that may allow at whatever range they may recommend we move forward, whether we take a look at it and look at some of the implications.
And have you seen a big demand for legalization from members of your tribe? Are you expecting that?
Well, you know, after in 2013, when the U.S. Department of Justice issued that policy statement, which we now know as the Cole Memorandum, tribal members, from other tribes, actually, start asking the same questions. You know, the DOJ had difficulty enforcing federal laws against marijuana in states that had legalized marijuana. So as we most definitely, some people do not know that, but in essence, we are sovereign nations within the states that we currently exist in. We asked the Department of Justice about what happens if sovereign tribal nations went ahead and legalized marijuana. How would that be treated? And basically, the Department of Justice extended that policy, that same type of co-memorandum policy, that they would treat the tribes similar to how they treat the states, so they wouldn't be in the same type of dilemma or have the same type of difficulty. So after, and that was in 2014, so after that, many tribes have been, within their tribal boundaries, have been discussing, is this something we look at? Whether some tribes might look at it for the financial possibilities, or others might look at the known medical assistance that it might provide. So we've had questions, but I don't think it's that different than other tribes who do not have to follow state criminal jurisdiction.
And let's bring Richard Manette back in here, professor of law at UW-Madison. Richard, if the Menominee tribe decided to allow marijuana, would you expect to see other tribes following suit?
Other tribes are already doing this. Tribes in particular that are similarly situated to the Menominee outside of Wisconsin. One of the undertones here that, frankly, is going to cause some confusion in the state of Wisconsin is that some of the tribes are subject to a federal public law, 83-280, that you sometimes hear referred to in short as PL-280 or just 280. And of the 11 federally recognized tribes in the state, 10 of them are subject to 280, and one is not. And that one that is not is the Menominee tribe. And so while the federal Department of Justice issued the policy memorandum, it did not repeal in any way public law 280. So while the Menominee tribe is on very firm standing in the position they're taking legally regarding marijuana, we're not going to see other tribes in the state follow suit, because other tribes in the state are subject to PL 280, which means they are subject to the state's jurisdiction, and Menominee is not, the state's criminal jurisdiction. Menominee is not. And so we're not going to see the other tribes in the state following suit, with one caveat. If the state of Wisconsin ever decides to allow any sort of marijuana use, production, any sort of action that appears now that the state is merely regulating marijuana, well, then you will see the other tribes saying, well, if the state allows it but regulates it, we too can allow it but regulate it. So for now, long and short, again, the answer is no. You're not going to see other tribes in the state doing it because of Public Law 280.
Now, I assume that if you weren't a member of the tribe and you were caught possessing marijuana outside tribal boundaries, you'd be in violation of state law.
Right.
Any other response that you expect from the state if this were to go forward?
Well, I can imagine that the state is going to be looking at some other federal laws, such as the Assimilative Crimes Act, perhaps. But the Assimilative Crimes Act, which also applies state laws to Indian country in some circumstances, and in fact there is a precedent regarding the Menominee tribe precisely where the Assimilative Crimes Act was used, nonetheless the Assimilative Crimes Act is used by federal law enforcement, not state law enforcement. So even though there's an argument to apply state law to Menominee, it's the federal government that would have to do that. And given the policy statement from the U.S. Department of Justice, the point is the federal government is not going to invoke the Assimilative Crimes Act to do that.
Now, just briefly, before we go back to Chairman Bisa, why is it that the Menominee tribe has this exemption when other tribes in the state don't? Richard?
Yeah, I thought you were saying going back to Chairman Bisa.
Oh, sorry. No, yeah. We'll go back to him in just a moment.
Yeah. Well, first of all, it's not an exemption. So, and I don't mean to quibble too much with the words, but saying this right will help the confusion that's about to occur in the state. You're not exempt from something unless that something applies to you in the first instance. And the state's laws don't apply to Menominee. It's nothing to be exempt from. More the question is, why does the state laws apply to the rest of the tribes. Now, there's a follow-up question about sort of an exception. So the federal law applies public law 280 to the state and the tribes. The state, therefore, applied its criminal laws to the tribes. But the Menominee tribe had its relationship with the federal government terminated in roughly 1953, and then had that relationship restored in 1971 or so. And in the process of gaining a restoration of recognition of their status, the state of Wisconsin agreed that Public Law 280 would not apply to Menominee, even though it applied to the other 10 tribes. So that's why Menominee is treated differently under Public Law 280.
And Chairman Bisa, just briefly, but before we let you go, if this referendum does show broad support, what is your next step?
Well, part of this would be looking at further review. I mean, we've done a lot of review on the legal aspects, the social aspects, the economic aspects. We've looked at a lot of different information. We would review if it's approved. Remember, if it's approved, those are very, very broad referenda questions. What we would do is, for it to go forward, it would go forward in the form of an ordinance. So if we put together an ordinance, that means that spells out exactly how that may or may not apply. Remember, the state of Wisconsin, still within this matrix of jurisdiction, even on our reservation, still applies jurisdiction to non-natives for victimless crimes within the exterior boundaries. So we have to be careful at how we would, if indeed we did, go forward with any type of ordinance. So it's a very convoluted process, and by all means, we would be deliberate. The first step is to see if the tribe even wants us to spend that time and energy.
And we leave it there. Chairman Bisa, thank you for joining us. And Richard Manette, I thank you as well. We were talking to Richard Manette, professor of law at UW-Madison and director of the Great Lakes Indian Law Center. Gary Bisa, chairman of the Menominee Indian Tribe of Wisconsin, joined us as well. They joined us to talk about the Menominee Tribe's upcoming referendum on the question of legalizing marijuana on their reservation.